Blog Talk Radio.
All right. This is Watchman on the Wall, standing tall, looking for the blessed hope of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. This is Elder G. Bizarre coming to you from Glory Land, the land of the Word of God. That's where I am, in the Word of God. That's where our hope is. That's where our joy is. That's where our peace is. Everything belongs to the Lord when it comes to righteousness. Everything belongs to the Lord when it has to do with righteousness. God cannot tolerate unrighteousness. He cannot put up with sin. And a lot of people say, well, if he can't put up with sin, how come he's letting all this go on? Well, there was a contract made in the Garden of Eden. Go back to Adam and Eve. There's a contract made. Satan came in the garden. Came in the garden and told Adam and Eve to do what God told them not to do. And the contract of this earth had to be handed over to Satan, because Satan deceived Adam and Eve. Let you know, fall fell. Eve was deceived. Eve was tricked. She was conned by Satan. Satan convinced her that what God said was not true. That's why Lucifer went to the woman first, because she is the weaker vessel. She was deceived. And then the woman went to Adam. We went to Adam. Adam was not deceived. Adam knew exactly what would happen if they would eat the fruit of knowledge of good and evil. Adam knew. Adam knew because God put Adam as the head of creation. He made woman to be by his side. He didn't make woman to lead the man. He made the man to lead the woman. And I know the world today has changed. The woman wants to take the forefront, but God didn't set it up that way. Now, if you want to get upset, you got to talk to God about that. Adam was the one that knew exactly what would happen if he ate that tree of knowledge of good and evil. He knew that if he ate the part of the tree, the fruit of knowledge of evil, they would die. Spiritually die. Not physical death, but spiritual death. In other words, cut off from God. When Adam and Eve sin against God, they disconnected the relationship with God Almighty by their disobedience, and they went on their own because they chose to disobey God. And Adam deliberately said, Lev, this is my wife. This is my honey bun. This is my dream. And I know I ain't got no business doing this, but just to please her, just to set everything in order, because she done ate the fruit of knowledge, good and evil, and I know if I eat it, we're done. And Adam took part of the tree, and with the part of the tree and ate the fruit of knowledge, good and evil, the whole creation that God made, humanity, was handed over to Satan, and Satan became the god of this world, the god of this world, the god of this age, the god of this period of time, of a period of 6,000 years. Satan has ruled the planet as far as humanity. He can't rule the stars and the moon and the weather. He can't rule that. He ain't got nothing. He ain't got no power to do that. But sometimes God permits him to maybe start a storm up, amen, wake people up, or something may happen. But God is in control. And the reason why man is so wicked, so foul, so detesting, so mean and cruel, so hateful these days is because they're cut off from God. They don't know God. They don't know the power of God. They don't know the sovereignty of God. They don't realize that he is the beginning and he is the end. He's the first and the last. He's yesterday, he's today, and forevermore. He has no beginning. There's no end to him. And man was placed in in the womb between Alpha and Omega. Man was placed in a period of 6,000 years of man's time. But the 6,000 years are up, and we're getting ready to go into the seventh millennium. But before we go into the seventh millennium, there has to be a judgment up on the earth. There has to be a judgment coming up on the earth. And when it comes, it's coming by the power of God. Satan knows that judgment is coming. He sees judgment is coming. He's working to what? To destroy the human race. He's trying to eliminate the racial barrier. He's trying to use the racial barrier to eliminate the black and white, the yellow and the green, the purple, or whatever color you are. He wants to exterminate every human race, every nation, every nationality up on this earth. And man is so blind and so self-righteous and so self-independent from God that man thinks he can handle this. Satan knows he's doomed. He's out of the bracket. And now, since we're living in the last days, since we're living in the end time, since we're living in the days as it was in the days of Noah, in the days of Sodom and Gomorrah, we're living in that day now because man is saying, forget this God. I don't want nothing. And especially, as far as Jesus Christ, oh, man, I don't need no Christ. I don't need God in my life. I can do whatever I want to do in that. And I ain't going to need God. Not even when I get ready to die, I ain't going to call him. But you're a lying wonder. You're a lying wonder. I don't care how atheist you are, evolutionist, no, whatever, agnostic, before you leave this planet. And if you have time enough to call on a name, I know what name you're going to call on. You're going to call on the name of Jesus Christ, because Jesus Christ is the only one that can save man from his sin. And what Christ did, no other man did it. No other man even tried to do it. No man ever to say, hey, look, I'll die for the world. Ain't no other man did it. That's why the only scripture you can read in the Bible to show you that Jesus Christ did it is when John 3:16 pulled out the pen and wrote down, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. That whosoever means whoever you may be. If you're a human being, that means whoever it may be. Black or white, yellow, pretty, ugly, whatever you are. Whosoever believeth in him shall never perish, but have everlasting life. And Jesus is saying here, you come to me, and I'll give you eternal life. And when I give you eternal life, the only way that I could attain to give you eternal life, I had to die. I had to die for what? The sins of the world. I had to die what Satan caused Adam and Eve to do. I had to die for the sins of the whole world, that through me, you can, Jesus Christ said, through me, you can know my Father. So if you want to get to God, if you want to connect up with God, if you want to be reconciled back to God, if you're going to be redeemed from God, you got to come through his Son. Capital S-O-N, not the S-U-N. The S-O-N, the Son of God, the very God, what became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld the glory of the only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father. So it's Christ, Christ alone. You can't add nothing to him. You can't take nothing out of it. It's Christ alone. There is no other name given under heaven whereby men can be saved than the name of Jesus Christ. And God's love reached out to the highest of the highest, and he sold of the world that is beyond all the grains of the sands of the sea, all the water that's in the ocean. God loved black people. He loved white people. He loved Chinese people. He loved Russian people. He loved everybody because we were made in his image and after his likeness. After his likeness. In other words, amen. Adam and Eve were made pure. They were sinless in the image of God until sin entered in. Then they lost the image of God. They lost the image of holiness. They lost the image of sanctification. Why? Because sin interrupted him and cut them off. And when he cut them off, they were doomed for eternal damnation. Nobody could come up with no kind of formula to redeem man back to God, because God had the only answer. And the only answer, somebody got to die that is sinless. Somebody got to die that is all powerful. Somebody got to die who is eternal. Somebody got to die that have the love of God in their heart. And Jesus Christ has the love of God in his heart, because the Bible says, God is love. God is love. God is love. Nothing but love. And since he's so much lovable, he's so good and kind to humanity, he give them opportunity to come to him. He give them life. He give them breath. He wakes them up in the morning. Oh, my God, he's so good. I know some people are leaving this earth now, and the reason they're leaving, because, number one, a lot of people are leaving because they say, I don't need no God, man. It's you. I ain't going to die. I'm going to live it up. I don't believe in all that Christianity. I don't believe in all that Holy Ghost. I don't believe all in that praying. I don't believe, no, man, I don't need that. And so a lot of people are dying before their time, because the way of a transgressor is hard. Ooh, I don't want to get into that too much now, but what I'm going to do, I'm going to bow my heads in prayer right now in the name of Jesus Christ, and let the Holy Ghost come on in here. Amen, and speak to my heart that I may speak to you, to give you encouragement and let you know what's going on in the world today, because there's so much going on in the world today, I can't even cover it all. I don't even know where to start, because everything right now is in the Bible. Everything you see, from the weather, from the killing, from the murdering, from the false preachers and false Christ, all this is in the Word of God, and it said at the end time it will mount up beyond our belief. Things are happening so fast, people don't know what to do. But just before we get into the Word, let's bow our heads. Eternal Lord God Almighty, we thank you for this opportunity. We thank you for letting us be here today. Let me go into your Word right now, your divine Word, that I may speak to your people right now, wherever they may be, whoever it may be, that they may acknowledge that except a man be born again, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. Not by power, not by might, but by your spirit, says the Lord of hosts. Use me in a mighty way, that when I get through with the message, speaking to the Holy Spirit, that somebody can shout. Somebody can say, praise God. Somebody can say, yes, I see the light. Somebody can say, oh, thank God for Jesus Christ. Thank God for Brother Bazaar. Amen. I'm just preaching the plain word of God. I ain't got no loops and holes. I'm not trying to shim-sham you. I'm going to tell you just like it is. And here it is right now in Jesus' name. If it's just amen. Amen. I'm going to talk about the four horses of apocalypse found in the book of Revelation at the sixth chapter, and found in Zechariah in the Old Testament. And I'm going to read and explain to you from the word of God, what are these horses and what do they represent? And we're going to get into it right now. This is Watchman on the Wall, End Time Internet Ministry, Block Talk Radio. And we are here this evening to talk about Jesus Christ and him only. For at his name, every knee is going to bow and every tongue is going to confess. And we realize the whole centerfold of the Bible, is the cross of Christ. Jesus Christ is the centerfold of the Bible. And since he's the centerfold of the Bible, we got to put the cross right between the Old Testament and the New Testament. Because Christ came about 4 B.C. after the last prophet Malachi spoke. It was 400 years passed by. No Holy Scripture was written. And by the time about 4 B.C. came, Jesus Christ was born. Wrapped in swaddling, laid in the manger. Woo! Laid down in the manger. Born of a Virgin Mary. Not by the will of God. Not by flesh and blood. Not by some hocus pocus. Not by some magician. But is born by the will of God. The Holy Ghost. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost overshadowed Mary. when it overshadowed Mary, hey, man, praise God. God himself, God Almighty became man, wrapped up in human flesh, conceived into Mary's womb, sinless, no sin, nowhere, sinless. I'm talking about sinless, no sin, nowhere. But when he was born sinless. That is, how can a man be born sinless when man was born and shaped in iniquity? Well, you know that God made Adam and Eve the head of creation. When he made head of creation, that means he had power to decide whether sin was going to enter into the world or was he was going to connect up with his wife and go ahead and disobey God. And he had a decision, because when Eve ate the fruit of knowledge of good and evil, there was no breaking point. What broke the point was when Adam agreed with her and ate the tree of knowledge of good and evil, the sin trait entered through Adam and broke the relationship with God, because he was ahead of creation. And since he was the head of creation, sin entered into the world by Eve eating, and Eve got Adam to eat, and the whole creation fell. The sin trait goes to the man. The seed of the man, the sperm of the man, carries the sin trait. You hear what I'm saying? Talk to me now. Talk to me. This is deep. The whole sin trait came through Adam. And when Adam sperm, Eve brought forth the son named Cain, he was born in sin. Why? Because Adam carries the sin trait, and it passed to Eve. When it passed to Eve, sin entered Cain. And Cain was born a sinner. When Abel was born, he was born a sinner. And the man from creation, from Adam and Eve, was born in sin, shaped in iniquity, in the mind of seed him. Sin entered the world all the way from 4,004 B.C. all the way over to 2020. So no man could be born sinless, since man is already a sinful individual. But listen to this. The God, the creator, the maker, designer, the omnipotent power, omniscient, everywhere, became man by the Holy Ghost, entered into Mary's womb and took the seed of that woman, which was sinless. The seed of a woman is sinless. No sin in the woman's ovary. No sin in the woman's egg. Woo! And so by being no sin in the woman's egg, God used that egg to sperm divinely and enclose himself in a human flesh. And when he was born into the world, he was born sinless. Sinless. By him being born sinless, he was the Son of God. Because God cannot sin. When Christ was born, he was born perfect. He was born sinless. He was born because, number one, he wasn't born God. He was born Jesus Christ, God's Son, God in the flesh. Walked on this earth 33.5 years. And when he done miracles, it was divinely. And if he would have sinned, I wouldn't even be here. You wouldn't be here. You wouldn't have no hope. You wouldn't have no joy. You wouldn't have nothing. If Jesus Christ would have sinned, it was all blunder. And that's what Satan was trying to do all down through the annals of time, from the Garden of Eden, all the way down to Jesus Christ. He was trying to defile the bloodline in which Christ was coming, and he was coming through the seed of Mary. And since Mary was born in sin and shaped in iniquity, her ovaries, her eggs were sinless. And then when Jesus Christ came, it was God in Christ It was God in Christ. It was God in the flesh. When he was born, he was born sinless. And that, imagine this. Here's a baby. Here's Jesus Christ. Here's God, a baby in the flesh. He was down in the manger. He was in the manger, and the world kept on turning. The angels were still in heaven. The weather, the world kept turning. When Jesus Christ, oh, my God, do you understand what I'm saying? That's power. That's a God of gods and a Lord of lords, because nobody else can do that. When he was 12 years old, he was controlling the universe. When he was 13, 14, 15, when he got baptized, he still was controlling the world. Why? Because he's God in the flesh. He knew men's mind. He knows your ups, he knows your uprise and your downs. So let me tell you something. Christ was born, and this is the only time in human history that God became man. When God became man, there's no more time that Jesus Christ is going to come down here and be born again, wrapped in the swaddling clothes. That is done. That is done. And he did it for what? To save us. To save us. Who knew no sin. But what happened? He became sin. Good God Almighty. He became a drunkard, a liar, a prostitute. He became a homosexual. He became a sodomite. He became everything that you can see in the Word of God that unholy. He became that. And we nailed him to the cross. The whole human race nailed him to the cross. And they killed him. Because he said, I got power to lay down my life, and I got power to pick it up again. And so he was a slain lamb, led to the slaughter like a dumb lamb. So when he gave his life up, he gave it up willingly. Willingly, because that was the only way God could destroy sin out of your soul. That's the only way God could cleanse your soul. That's the only way God could redeem you. Why? Because his blood has more power in it than any A-bomb, any B-bomb, any C-bomb, any atomic bomb. It got more power to destroy that sin in your soul and in your spirit and make you holy by faith in Jesus Christ, because there is no power, more power than the blood of Jesus Christ, because the soul is in the blood. The blood is in the soul. And without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. And it was impossible. It was impossible for the blood of lambs and turtle doves and goats and bullocks. They could not save man. They could not redeem man. They couldn't do nothing but be a type and shadow of a better sacrifice. And that sacrifice was the only man, amen, that God became man, that the manhood between the Godhood and the manhood of God himself. He was nailed to the cross and gave up the ghost and took our sin. And let me tell you, he was beaten, sat upon, rejected, nailed to his hand, to his feet. They pierced his side. They wouldn't even give him a drink of water. They gave him vinegar. He refused it. He cried out to himself, my God, my God, my God, my God, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? The pain and agony of sin that was up on his body. He absorbed every sin, every lie that you done told, every backbite, every whoremongering spirit that you done went over, all the gambling spirit. He done took all that and absorbed it in his body. And he got so bad that he said, my God, why hast you forsaken me? God speaking to himself. Humanity calling out the divinity. You have let me take the sins of every person upon this planet that I can redeem them. And I gave my life that through my resurrection, good God Almighty, when he got up out that grave, the devil was done. He was done. He was doomed. He had no power over the grave anymore. He had no power over death anymore. He had no power over decision of where a person's going. Jesus Christ got up from the grave with all power in heaven and earth. And he said, now I'm going back to the Father. And when I go back to the Father, I'm going to send those that's in the upper room power from on high, which is the Holy Ghost. And you shall be a witness for me. And you shall go out into the world, and tell everybody you see, tell everybody you know that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God. And he came down here 2,000 years ago. And when he came not by the will of man, not by flesh and blood, nor by decision by the UN, nor by decision by the government. He said, I've got to go down and redeem my creation. I've got to go down and redeem my race. I've got to go down and redeem every individual that will come to him. And the Bible tells me that God will not force salvation on you. He won't push you to get saved. He won't tell you, I'm going to pound you in the head if you don't do it. He said, whosoever will, let him come. I don't care who you are, what you are, where you're coming from. I don't want you to die and go to hell for your own sin. But my friends, let me tell you, if you die and go to hell, you're going to come from your own sins. You refuse to let Jesus, let Jesus come in to your life and change you from the darkness into the marvelous light, because the time is far spent, the day and the sun is going down. He said, the day you hear my voice, harden not your heart, because come back, I'm coming back in power and great glory. I'm coming back like a twinkling of an eye. I'm going to come back, and no man knows the hour or day or minute or second. But when I come back, I'm going to rapture the church up. I'm going to carry those that's been born again. I don't know about you, but let me tell you, if you're just a church member, that don't mean you're going anywhere. If you're just a good person, that don't mean you're going anywhere. You got to be born. You got to be born again. You got to know who Jesus Christ is. Four horses of apocalypse. I had to put that in there. Four horses of apocalypse. What are they? All right, let's go to the book of Zechariah, if you can keep up with me. I don't want to get you too far in a distant way of understanding what I'm saying. The four horses of apostles, white horse, we got the black, red horse, we got the black horse, and we got the pale horse. Know who these horses is. He says, I said, oh my Lord, what we see is that a murder tree lies in his face. He's not there, but the Lord has to and fro through him. Now, this spirit exists now, walking to and fro in the earth. Now, who has these spirits? These spirits are fallen angels. And we'll find out. They are fallen angels, and they cause trouble. They are trouble, and they are the Lord of the whole earth. And we're going to find out who are the ones that orchestrated, and who are the ones that directed these evil spirits, the four horses of apocalypse. The four horses of apocalypse. And here we find in Job, we'll find the answer. In the book of Job, the first chapter, the first. Okay, Satan, what's coming down? Then Satan asked the Lord, and Satan from God all these four horses of apocalypse are four evil spirits that controls the events on the earth today. But they stand before the Lord because the Lord is the one that can tell them what to do and where to go and how to go, and it's going to show you that there's going to be a judgment. I don't want to obey God. All I want to give him opportunity to fall under these four horses of apocalypse. Now, these four horses of apocalypse is found in the book of Revelation, because John on the house of Patmos wiped out the identity and the fulfillment of what these horses are going to do in the end time. Now we're living in the end time, and these horses are beginning to gather. They begin to gather every day. They may devour. And you know one thing about the horse, the greatest animals, amen. I think a horse is a beautiful animal. A horse is one of man's best friends. In the Old Testament, they didn't have automobiles. They had horses. Man for man's transportation. And we know when you have a, if you are a boy,
chariot were red horses, and the second chariot were black horses.
the Lord of all the earth. These horses in the air now. These horses, the prince power they have. And they're riding in the spiritual form. And he said, the black horses which are therein go forth into the Lord. And the white horses go forth out again. And the prince of Bay go forth. And Bay went forth to go, and they might walk to and fro through the earth. And he said, get you. This walk to and fro through the earth. So they walk to and fro through the earth. Then cried he upon me and spake with me, saying, behold, these that go toward the dawn must have quiet my spirit. And the north country said, these that go towards the north country have quiet my spirit in the north country. This is what Zechariah saw. The Old Testament verified. And we got to realize that these four horses that we see in the four cherubims is a symbolic four spirits that stand before the Lord. And these four spirits are wicked spirits. And these wicked spirits get ready to ride across the universe of time. Because the ever since the fall of Adam and Eve, way back there in 4,000. These horses been riding across the annals of time. And when we get in the book of Revelation and give you the example which each horse represents, and we go across the period of 4004 BC, they were riding in the Old Testament. They were riding in BC, and they're still riding in AD. They're going to ride in AD. On up into judgment. The Lord said, there's a time that is appointed once for men to die, and after their death is judgment. And I want you to know there's a judgment coming. And when this judgment comes, it's going to be four spirits riding across the annals of time. And 2,000 years for them to ride on in. And they've been riding for a good while now. And they're not tired. And they've been riding when Jesus Christ came down from heaven and died on Calvary's cross, the God Almighty. And when he came, I noticed something there. Guess what he rode on? He didn't ride on a horse because, not that he wasn't qualified, but he had to get the victory. He hadn't got the victory yet because of he was a beast of burden. He represents a beast of burden, and a donkey represents a beast of burden, and it was Jesus Christ. First thing he had to do, he had to take our burden. Yes, he did. He took sin and bared it on the cross and nailed it to the cross and hung him high and stretched him wide. So he said, I can't ride a horse to Jerusalem right now because a horse represents me. Good God. A horse. Let me tell you something. You ride. Go a donkey. To bird and a donkey. And by Jesus, bear our sins, bear our iniquities. He said, I'm going to ride on the coat of an ass. And he rode, oh yes, he rode through the coat of an ass. And after he rode through on the coat of an ass, they were saying, Hosanna, Hosanna, King of the Most High God. They was calling him king. He was already king. But he was a king, no king. God on a Sunday morning. He took him on down off the donkey and the following week and judged him all night. They called him everything but the Son of God. And when they got calling him, they nailed him to Calvary. Yes, they did. They nailed him on the cross. And they let him hang. Yes, he did. He hung. Oh, yes, he hung for me, God Almighty. He hung for you. And after that, they put him in the grave. And three days.
down in the bowels of the earth. While he was down there, there was a revival. He revived. Oh, yes, he did the Old Testament thing. Yes, and he saw Satan in hell. He said, okay, Lucifer, okay, Satan, I got the keys now. Give them to me. I know Satan had his sickle. That's me. Right. Part of science. I remember when you was in heaven. I know you was in heaven. Come down. Yes, yeah, every day, sister, across churches, souls of being saved, hey, that's for being saved today. And I don't know what you're talking about. You're saying the church seems like it's lost its power, but the devil's on fire. He wants the church to be destroyed. Up on that rock, on my church. And the gates of hell shall prevail against it. And I'm going to give you the keys of the kingdom. And whether you shall bind on earth, shall be bound in heaven. It says, ever since 34 AD, the church was born. It says, it was born. Everybody that's in the church was born again. You got to come to Christ. You got to come by. Without the cross, there is no salvation. Without the cross, there is no belief. Without the cross, there is no joy. Without the cross, there is no eternal redemption. Without the cross, there is no peace. Without the cross, there is no joy. Without the cross, there is no without the cross, there ain't nothing but the cross. You got to come on in and blow the shit from Emmanuel's vein. If all the sins come and fall on the land. All the guilty stains were burned away without sin. Found it. Been riding for 6,000 years. Get the gallop. Gallop forward, forward. Get closer. Turn to Jesus Christ. Somebody say, wait a minute. Brother Bazaar, yes, I have. I really did forget it, but I. Oh, yeah. I was a bad shit, well. But all that. Oh, yes, he did. They've been white. There are seven churches. You talking about, preacher? I'm talking about in the book of Revelation after the church.
go to the fourth chapter of Revelation. The fourth chapter of Revelation. You read the fourth chapter of Revelation, the last church, in the third chapter is Laodicea. After the fourth chapter, you don't see the church no more. I say that again. Third chapter, you see the church of Laodicea. But after the fourth chapter occurs, you don't see the church no more. Until the 19th chapter of Revelation, the 11th verse, then you will see the church coming back with Jesus Christ in power and in great glory. Because in the fourth chapter of Revelation, listen to what it says. John the Revelator on the island of Patmos, put on there for the testimony of Jesus Christ and the commandments that he has kept. They tried to put him in oil, and oil wouldn't boil. They tried to saw him asunder. Amen. They couldn't do that. They tried to hang him. They tried to do everything. They couldn't do it. So they end up putting him on the island of Patmos in 95 A.D. 95 A.D. They put him on the island of Patmos. And when they put him on the island of Patmos, God gave him the book of Revelation. And the angels gave it to John. And John wrote to the seven churches of Asia Minor, telling them that this is the condition that the world is going to be in at the end of time. And it's going to get worse and worse. We got the church of what? We got the church of Ephesus, the church of Pergamos, the church of Thyatira, the church of Sardis, the church of Philadelphia, and the church of Laodicea. The church of Ephesus backslid. The church of Pergamos, the church of Smyrna, persecuted church. The church of Pergamos, compromising church. The church of Thyatira, that's when the church marries the world. Lord have mercy. That's why the paganism mixed in with Christianity. They're married to the world. We got a whole bunch of people have a fallen of garbage, but they have never experienced the power and the resurrected Christ in their life. They have never been changed, but they have that form of godliness, but they ain't got no power. They're going on like they know Jesus, but they really don't know Jesus because they never had an experience. They just got that church minded. You know, you shout, you do this, you do that, you got it. But you got to repent of your sins. You got to be changed. Your soul has to be rejuvenated. Your soul has to be redeemed by what? The blood of the Lamb. And then we got the church of Philadelphia, the evangelistic church. And then we got the church of Laodicea, the last church. And in the third chapter of Revelation, as I said before, you don't see the church no more until the 19th chapter. Before Christ comes back, there's a seven-year tribulation that's going to occur on the earth pretty soon. And here's what's going to happen then. It's going to happen right here. John the Revelator wrote this in the fourth chapter of Revelation. After this I looked, and behold, a door was opened. And the first voice which I heard was it was of me. Talking with me, which said, this is what the prophet said, come up hither. Talking to John. Not only John, talking to the church. Come up hither. And I will show, it says, I look, beheld a door open. So when the church is ratcheted up, a door is going to open in heaven. And the first voice which I heard was that it was a trumpet. A trumpet's going to blow. Talking with me. So when this trumpet blows, it's going to be talking to what? Every bone against believer. Every bone against believer that have been the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Every born-again believer that's in the prison house. Every born-again believer that's in the insane asylum. Whether it's in Africa, whether it's Russia, whether it's in the United States. Every born-again believer going to hear this trumpet. And what? And Paul say, and the dead in Christ shall rise, and we remain by, shall be brought up to meet the Lord in the air. That's explanation to the fourth
church is going to go into another dimension. Another dimension. They're going to go into another dimension. And then when we get there, we're going to see one set on the throne. The throne of what? The throne of the judgment seat of Christ, the Bema seat. And he that sat on them, this is what he looked like. Like a jasper and a sardine stone, there was a ring around about the throne. It was like emerald. Oh, my God, look at that. And around the throne, there were 4 and 20 seats, the 24 elders, the 12 disciples, and the 12 elders sitting clothed in white raiment. And they had on their heads crowns, and out of the throne proceeded lightning and thunder and voices. And for some of them, ah, this is the throne, this is the judgment seat of Christ right here, right in my face. Fire burning before the throne, which are the seven spirits. And before the throne, there was a great sea of glass. And in the midst of the throne, there was around about the throne, there were 4 beasts full of eyes. And the first beast was the beast of the lion. The second beast was the beast. The third beast was like the face of a man. And the fourth beast was like a flying eagle. It represents the four gospels. The four gospels. Matthew says he's the lion out of the tribe of Judah. The second beast says, Mark said he's a suffering servant. In other words, he suffered. An ox is a calf. Ox is the strongest animal. Listen to me now. That's what the beast represents. An ox can go down in the mud. Listen to me now. An ox can go down in the mud with the plow man behind the plow. Go down into the mud and what? Come up out of the mud on his own power. An ox is strong. A strong animal. He can pull that man right up out of that mud because his body, hey man, wide. It'll stay down, but he can move that body and he can pull him right out of that. Now you say, well, preacher, where do you get this from? What does that mean? That means that when Christ died on Calvary, he had spent more than the ox, but when he went down, in the grave and he came up out of the grave by himself. Jesus said, I got power to lay it down, and I got power to pick it up again. And what did he take down in the grave? He took my sin and took it down in the grave, and on the third day, when he got all power and delivered through his blood, he got up on his own. That's what the second beast represents. The third beast, the face of a man. That you know that Jesus Christ was a man. That he was God man. And since he was God man, he became man. Now saying it by him, but every man is still take death for you and everybody on this planet. And yet still people prefer to live in death, sin, death, hell in the grave, and they don't want to be delivered. And then guess what? The hawk beast was like a flying eagle. John said in the beginning was the word and the word. The same in the beginning was God. God was made flesh. The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld the glory of the only begotten Christ, the highest of us. And there was a man above and around the storm. That's what that God came to. Amen. And went on down to the grave and picked up the keys of death and hell on the third day morning. And now he's picking up souls everywhere. Your name, your everlasting name. Praise God, Father, for that's your power. Thank God for his time. Son of God, the Lord of God, but the four beasts had these things about. They were full of eyes within. That's not
all night. He
said, holy, 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 holy Lord God Almighty, which was, which is the cross. This is coming. And when it comes, the church is going to visualize it. The very presence of God. If we hurry on, and we pull this thing, God, and I can say, him that sit on the throne, for thou hast created all things, and for thou they are and were created. In that last verse of the fourth chapter, that verse is where the church is going to be in the presence of Jesus Christ. In this chapter, not on earth. So, this is what the church is going to be considered to when they see Jesus Christ sitting on the throne. And the church is going to be judged for their work. In the fourth chapter. In the fourth chapter, the church is being judged for the work of saved by grace. God keeps his plan. No one gets out of it. No one can get out. Got your soul. Your soul, the blood. The sight of your heart. Rejoice because you're okay. Rejoice over there. That's good. Out there. Rejoice because you're okay. In written in the Lamb book of life. And God do not have any wish. He don't make mistakes. He don't say, oops, I'm gonna take his name out. God ain't never done that, never. When you're born of God, you're born. Satan can't touch your soul. He can't bother your spirit. Only thing Satan can wrestle you with and call you to doubt your salvation. They don't fix it. Because they ain't just always going to be. Always. Fill you with the Holy Ghost until the day of redemption. You belong to Him, capital H I M. Satan always trying to sneak in to be sick. The devil will put my salvation. Oh, wretched man that I am. Deliver me from. He said, but I thank the Lord and Satan. Where the devil's mind has now out. Devil can't do nothing with me. Because I got the whole arm of God on. I got the helmet of faith. Trusting in the Lord. You should have the helmet of faith on. So, what we got here in the fourth chapter, let me tell you, my friends, that's where the church is going to be excommunicated. We're leaving here. We're going to move out after a while. We're going to get a new house. We're going to get a new body. Everything's going to be brand new. We're going to get a glorified body. There ain't going to be no flesh and blood. There ain't going to be no sickness, no death. There ain't going to be no fear. Then before the judgment seat of Christ, the body of Christ, I got brothers and sisters. I got a million, billion brothers and sisters I ain't never met. Oh, woo! I got a whole lot of brothers and sisters in the Lord. I never know. One day I'm going to be born in the portals of glory. Let us hurry on. In the fifth chapter of Revelation, there was a book to be opened. And just to run on a little further, I don't want to hold you too much on. There was a book to be opened because the church now is getting ready to open
the seven seals, and they were looking for somebody to open the seven seals, and they were looking to open the seven seals. I've got to read a little bit of this. In the fifth chapter of Revelation, I saw in the right hand of him that sat on the throne, book written within, and on the backside, sealed with seven seals. And I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, who is worthy to open the book and to loose the seven seals. And no man in heaven, nor in earth, nor under the earth, was able to open the book. There was no preacher. There was no deacon. There was no cardinal. There was nobody able to even look upon the book. Nobody was able to open the book. Nobody was able to read the book. Nobody was able to handle the book. Nobody. And then in the fourth verse it said, and John said, I want much because no man worthy to open and read the book. And look more upon. My God, there be no seraphim. Nobody was able to look. They even announced what was in this book. Nobody. And John wept much because nobody was found worthy to open to read the book. And one of the of the 24 elders say, weep not. Quit crying, man. Don't cry no more. Behold, a lion out of the tribe of Judah, the root of David, has prepared to open the book and to loose the seals thereof. And I beheld, lo,
I don't see prayer candles up there. I don't see no Baptist preaching up there. I don't see no beacons up there. I don't see Presbyterian up there. I don't see other cabinets up there. I don't see nominations up there. I don't see nobody. Yeah, nobody. There ain't nobody. It's all by himself. First. Just that. My friend. 45 minutes. I want to get this. That fifth chapter of Revelation tells you that one of the four horses of Apocalypse, the four horses of Apocalypse, are the four judges that's coming up on this earth during the time of the tribulation. These four horses have been riding for the last 6,000 years, and they have called wars, dictators. And after the Lord was the only one to open the first and to break the third first, this what comes. These are the four horses that go under tribulation. If you live here, you will witness these four horses. You will witness the Antichrist, the corona disease. Is a minor, my God, a minor factor. I don't know how many disease. HIV, AIDS, you know, that is going to work for more and more people. That's all kinds of sex. Weird stuff. Something comes from the air with. All right, they done. Bats and monkeys. We got the yellow fever. We got the typhoid. All these things. And as we go into the tribulation period, in the book of Revelation, these are the judgments that's going to come. And when Jesus Christ, when the Lamb opened one of the seals, and I heard that it was a noise of thunder, and one of the four beasts saying, come and see. Come and see what? Come and see. When I opened the first seal, look what we find out. And he said, and I saw, behold, whatever was going on. Just like the world wanted Trump, no, they want you to be the dragon. The dragon is a devil, which gave his power into the sea. And they want you to be saying, who is like to be? Who is like this man? Who is able to be? Who is able to be? And the deal, God. The Greek is the fire. ain't letting you go. I ain't letting you go. Our brother. Talk to the Lord now. I ain't letting you go. I ain't letting you go until you bless me. You got to bless me because I've done some things that you need to do. It ain't real. Also, I got all these marriages. I got this thing in here. These people. He says, Lord, no, you can't let me go now. If they mess with you, he saved them to be an example to me. He said, God, fire, good demon, that all the stars that don't even go to heaven, I want you to know that the God that you serve is a one and all in one condition, and he'll give you best condition. And it's not dark right. This explains the Christ. But he might come riding on the white angel with a white uniform. But he's not going to ride through the sky with a white horse. That boat never sent the promise. To bring all religions under one tent, under one umbrella. And insinuate, I don't care who God you serve, you're going to be all alive. Worry about what God you took. Only the high. And that's how Christ was saying, I'm going. And your right hand, you're going to go forth. And you ain't going to be that much. If you will follow that, do what I tell you to do, I'll give you all these things. And Jesus, hallelujah, praise that I am bread back. Thou shalt worship the Lord God of all. And God of all. God is sovereign. I shall use this. participate. The Palestinians were God's land. God said, that's why. I need you good to be. But all power in heaven, Satan needs to stop it in heaven. He said, oh, born again with me, glorified, living with me, dedicated, committed. Great heart, complete one, fourth of the earth, and keep one, and a waste for other things. So that horse gives me back. Get ready to close the seventh verse, sixth chapter, And when he had opened the fourth verse, and the fourth verse said, come, this a pale, and his name, and hail, good Lord, wait a minute. Over one part of the earth could kill him. Or war. It would harm man. It would death. And with the beast of the earth, they sent out scavengers looking for food. The earth is getting closed down. Four horses. Disease is going to break out. And guess what? God is us. God ran short and his love and his mercy. God looked to me. Oh, yes, he did. And I went to be merciful to me. But he know, I know God's time. Tribulation period, I'm going to. generation. All of these 2,000 years. And on his head was many. He had a name that no man knows. He was clothed. And his name clothed.
Pay